Broadcasting nationwide and coast to coast, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
From the Liberty University Broadcast Studio, it's Todd Starnes.
Yes, it is. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you with us today. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. And we've got a lot going on this hour of the program. The big news, of course, North Carolina deciding, the governor there, the Democrat governor, deciding everybody's got to wear a mask in public. If you get caught without a mask, you could be charged with a crime. It doesn't matter if you are a business owner or a customer. And just a few moments ago, we got a message from the North Carolina Republican Party. I was supposed to be keynoting their annual prayer breakfast, and they may have to put that on hold because the governor won't allow people to congregate in groups of more than 25 people. So I want you to understand what your Democrat governor is doing, all of you folks in the state of North Carolina. It's okay to go out there, march in the streets, tear down, topple the statue. That's okay. But it's against the law for a bunch of Republicans to get together and eat scrambled eggs and a biscuit and hear a speech from yours truly. I just want you to understand the lay of the land there. And we're going to get into this story a little bit later on this hour. Breaking news out of Walt Disney, where Splash Mountain is about to be blown up. They're going to get rid of Splash Mountain because of the connections to the 1946 movie Song of the South. And so now they're going to, again, blow up Splash Mountain, and they're going to rework something based on the movie The Princess and the Frog. And, of course, that movie is about the fairy tale featuring the Walt Disney's first black princess. I'm telling you, the culture jihad continues, folks. 844-747-8868, toll-free number, 844-747-8868. And I'm telling you, this is why the work of Liberty University and the Falkirk Center are so vitally important, because we are in a fight for the heart and soul of this country. Well, on the Liberty University Newsmaker line is the president of Liberty University, Jerry Falwell Jr. Jerry, always good to have you back on the show.
Same here, Todd. I'm so honored to be here.
So, Jerry, you know, you're looking around and observing what's happening in our nation, where statues are coming down. And we warned people so long ago, it wasn't about the Confederate statues. They were going to go after other statues, including the Founding Fathers. And that's exactly what's happened.
Well, lots of totalitarian regimes throughout history, the first thing they do is try to erase the history and culture of the country that they're conquering and ruling, and we're seeing it again. It's just history is history. You can't change it. And so you learn from history. You don't erase it. That's so stupid. I can't believe Martin Luther King Jr. would be turning over in his grave if he saw what these Black Lives Matter protesters were doing. He preached nonviolence, and he firmly believed that he was a good Christian man, but they've completely thrown. I won't be surprised if they're tearing his statue down next.
Well, you do wonder at what point does it all stop? I mean, where do you draw the line, Jerry?
Right.
My concern, and I wrote about this in Culture Jihad, and you know, you were one of the few conservatives that were willing to have me come and talk about the book at Liberty University last October. And I remember hearing conservatives at a certain cable news channel who thought I was out in left field by my assertions that they were going to start targeting statues of George Washington and the Founding Fathers. And the reason they were doing that is if they could somehow convince a generation of young people that our Founding Fathers were racist, that they were sinful, evil people, then they could turn around and say, well, wait a second. These are the guys that wrote all of our founding documents. What are we going to do now? And I think that's where this is ultimately going.
I think you're right. And I think we need to all remember there was somebody on Fox News the other night, an African-American gentleman, and he was so eloquently explained how slavery had existed for thousands of years, and Africans had enslaved Africans, and they kept more slaves than they sold to the Europeans. The Europeans bought some, brought them here, and it was not our country. We had not won the Revolutionary War yet. It was Europeans who brought slavery to our shores. And it took us about 80 years after the Revolutionary War to get rid of it. But then we had Southern Democrats who insisted on Jim Crow laws after the war. And we had Southern Democrats who insisted on segregation. And now we have Democrats who are finding other ways to keep African Americans from succeeding and to divide their families. And it's a crime, and it needs to be exposed every day. And I just don't know why people don't see it.
Jerry, isn't it interesting? Because, again, Barack Obama had 8 years, 8 years to address the so-called systemic racism issue, 8 years to rename the military installations, 8 years to take down the statues. But that was not an issue during the Obama administration years. Now, all of a sudden, it's the only issue.
Yeah, it's people are not acting rationally. And I think they're fearful. I've said this before on your show, of what John Durham is about to do with former Obama administration officials who broke the law. I think they're fearful of the impact of that. But more than that, I think they're fearful that Donald Trump will be reelected, because I heard him say the other night, he said, the other side is violent in his speech. But he said, if our people are not violent, but if our people ever became violent, it'd be no contest. I mean, our people don't want violence. Conservatives don't want violence. But Democrats, liberals, they're barking up. I mean, they're making a mistake. I mean, because if they keep it up, you know, it's not going to end up in a good place for this country. I'm so sad to see it happening.
It is sad, Jerry, and a lot of people, and we've heard from a lot of listeners who feel really a sense of helplessness. You know, they see what's happening, and they don't know what to do. And we've been encouraging people to get involved, get plugged into the Falkirk Center, because that's really, I mean, it is such a providential time that you guys created this program. Because we need focus, and people, they want to be able to do something. And what can they do? And tell people about the mission of the Falkirk Center.
Well, like I've said from the beginning, it's about two things. We support principles that Jesus taught on faith and principles that Jefferson taught on liberty. And Jesus and Jefferson, those two things. And we believe that combination has produced the most prosperous and the most successful country in the history of the world, that's helped more people in need than any other country ever, through limited government, free enterprise, and individual liberties. And that's what we're trying to promote. History's not taught in the public schools anymore because of the teachers' unions. And it's the same reason that these terrible policemen who committed that brutal murder of George Floyd are even there, is because of police unions. And it's just, we've got to stop public unions. They can't exist. We've got to get rid of them. And then maybe we'll get this country back to a sense of sanity. But the young people don't know the history of this country. They don't know all the struggles that were fought and won with blood, sweat, and tears to make this country what it is. And it's, it really is a tipping point in our time.
Jerry, what is the plan at Liberty University for the fall semester? Are you guys going to have students back on campus?
We just passed we have 107,000 online students this year. Our previous record was 98,000. And
wow.
And our residential program is right where we intended to keep it the same size, because we only have so much room. But it's right where it was this time last year as far as students who have checked in. We're going to be full. And unless the governor comes up with some stupid rules, which he's very capable of doing. I have a button I wear now that says, "My governor is an idiot." And he's very capable of coming up with... He's very capable of coming up with some stupid rules to try to shut business down, to try to hurt schools, to try to hurt every institution. And unless that happens, we're going to be going full bore. And, you know, the NCAA will decide the athletic side of it. I mean, if we have to have other schools to play, so it depends on what they decide, too. But we're gung-ho. We're going full force forward. And I just believe it's natural for viruses like this to run their course, protect the people who are most vulnerable, and once they run their course, it's done. And I don't know why people are so stupid they can't see that. I don't know. I haven't worn a mask yet.
I completely agree. Yeah. I haven't either, so I haven't either. Jerry, looking forward to being on campus this fall. It's I saw some pictures of the studios. It looks great, and we can't wait to be broadcasting the show.
Well, we never have a dull moment here. This week we had a young 17-year-old rising country music star here recording a new album with members of Jerry Lee Lewis's band. And so I got to watch some of that, and it was fun. They even got me behind the mic for a little while.
Wait, you sing?
I just got to make sure that doesn't go on the internet.
Oh, no, that's got to go out on the radio. This is great. Hey, who's the artist?
His name is Chance Howland, H-O-W-L-A-N-D. He's 17 years old, and he sounds like a 50-year-old. His voice is so deep, and he sounds like an old-time country music star. And he's Jerry Lee Lewis's best friend brought him here, and I think he's got a bright future.
Well, I'll be. All right. Well, we're looking forward to hearing that. Okay. And your background vocals, Jerry Falwell Jr.
No, I was the lead vocal on one of the songs, but I can't release it. Okay.
All right. I love it. All right, Jerry, we got to leave it there. Always good hearing from you. Look forward to seeing you on campus.
Same here. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Jerry Falwell Jr., president of Liberty University, and we had announced this a while back, but we're going to be doing our show from two different studios, one here in Memphis, Tennessee at our Southern Command, and we're also going to be broadcasting our show from beautiful new studios on the campus of Liberty University, and a lot of their broadcast majors will be interning on the program. It's going to be a lot of fun, and we can't wait to tell you more about that moving forward. All right, look, a lot of folks want to weigh in here on this mask issue, what's happening in our schools with the destabilization of the country. We're opening up the phone lines, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
Wow, you folks are just absolutely amazing. I can't say enough about the listeners of this program. Whether it's on a local radio station, you're listening to us online. You guys are doing a terrific job sending us things that are happening in your neighborhood so we can share them with the rest of the country. And I really appreciate that. To give you an update on what's happening with us, we celebrate our third anniversary on July 5th. We are now broadcasting on 70 radio stations around this country. Our commentaries are now broadcast on more than 800 radio stations around the country. And I want to tell you about our website, which is just unbelievable. As of a little while ago, we now have more than 5 million readers on toddstarnes.com. And that's entirely on you guys. So thank you. That being said, Kelly from Oregon just sent me a note, and I want to read this to you. This crazy story from the state of Oregon, where a guy had some sort of a traffic ticket, and he had to go to court in Sweet Home, Oregon. And the guy's name is J.T. Colbeth. Mr. Colbeth got there. He had a 6-year-old daughter in tow. He had to pay for whatever the traffic. We don't know what the traffic offense was. He doesn't say. But when he got into the courtroom, he was told to put on a mask. He said, no, thank you. A few minutes later, the judge comes into the courtroom and says, where's your mask? And he told the judge that he had some sort of a breathing problem, and his personal choice was not to wear a mask. I don't believe it's the law of the land that you have to wear a mask in Oregon. So the judge keeps asking him questions and said that if he did not wear a mask, he would be found in contempt of court and he would be sent to the local jail. So the guy says, all right, no problem. He would just leave. So the guy turns around and leaves, takes his six-year-old daughter back to the truck in the parking lot. Then he turns around and the police chief is there. And the police chief says, well, I hate to do this to you, but the judge just found you in contempt of court, and we're going to have to arrest you. Mr. Colbeth says the police chief felt bad for the guy, but he was just doing his job. So Mr. Colbeth called his wife, waited for her to come pick up their daughter, and then he was placed in custody, stripped of his belongings, handcuffed, and put in a holding cell. He was there for over 2 hours. Finally, the judge came back, and we're going to try to get this guy on the show, by the way. The judge came back and said that if he wore a mask, that he would be allowed to go home. Folks, this is nuts. Absolutely nuts what's happening in our country right now. What are you going to do about it? 844-747-8868, our toll-free number. Let's go to Aaron in Little Rock, Arkansas. Aaron, listening to us on KARN, what's on your mind today?
I just wanted to talk about the masks thing. I have something, you know how Democrats, when they're talking about the abortion and everything, about my body, my choice. Well, I don't want to wear a mask. It's my body. It's my choice. And I say no to the mask.
Good for you, Aaron. And you know what? And that is the right mentality here, because you're absolutely right. The left always says, my body, my choice. Okay, well, you know what? Yep. You can play at that game. If you want to play that game, let's play that game. Good for you, Aaron.
I'm sound for it. I'm all for that. If they want to play dirty games, we can play dirty games with them. We can use their tactics and twist it around at them, too. And they're not going to like it either, as much as they don't like us doing it, too.
That's right. And Aaron, I'm telling you, this president got to start playing hardball. Call out the National Guard. Get the U.S. Marshals. Protect those statues, those monuments, no matter the cost.
Amen.
All right. Well, look, Aaron, thank you for the call, and thanks for listening. We have to cut it short because we're coming up on a break. I'm talking too much today, Bill Maine. It's a problem. I got a lot to say today.
It's a talk show. Aren't you supposed to?
Yeah, but we got great callers. O'Connor in Boston. We've got Matt over in North. Guys, just hang tight. But coming up, you're not going to believe this story. We've got a Catholic school teacher who believes that all lives matter. This Catholic school teacher was fired because he believes all lives matter. We're going to talk to him live coming up after the bottom of the hour news. 844-747-8868, our number. ToddStearns.com, the website. We'll be right back. The Dixie Chicks have apparently changed their name. They're not going to be known as Dixie anymore. They're just going to be known as the Chicks. I mean, why not just call them like the Babes or the Broads or the Gals? Or my personal favorite, the Squawking Magpies. Why don't we just do that? Anyway, gotta love the woke people in country music. So I saw a story the other day about a guy by the name of Timothy Gordon. He's a high school theology teacher, Catholic high school theology teacher. And he correctly described Black Lives Matter as a terrorist organization on Twitter. Now, he has a very good point. And I want to explain this because last night on Fox News Channel, I believe this was with Martha McCallum, there was a guy representing Black Lives Matter. And I want to, you need to hear this directly from the source here. Cut number two, please. Do we have that audio?
Sometimes you also have called, said that violence is sometimes necessary in these situations. What exactly is it that you hope to achieve through violence?
Wow. It's interesting that you would pose that question like that, because this country is built upon violence. What was the American Revolution? Mm-hmm. What's our diplomacy across the globe? We go in and we blow up countries and we replace their leaders with leaders who we like. So for any American to accuse us of being violent, it's extremely hypocritical.
No, it's not hypocritical. And then the guy goes on to say even more. Cut number three, please.
If this country doesn't give us what we want, then we will burn down this system and replace it. All right. And I could be speaking figuratively. Okay. I could be speaking literally. It's a matter of interpretation. Like, let's be very real. And let's observe the history of the 1960s. When Black people were rioting, we had the highest growth in wealth and property ownership. Think about the last few weeks. Since we started protesting, there have been 8 cops fired across the country. I don't condone, nor do I condemn rioting, but I'm just telling you what I observe.
Yeah, you know what? That is the definition of a domestic terrorist. So anyway, Timothy Gordon, the Catholic high school theology teacher, got fired for criticizing the Black Lives Matter movement. And Mr. Gordon is on the Liberty University Newsmaker line right now. Mr. Gordon, great to have you with us today, sir.
Oh, great to be here. What an honor. Thank you.
All right. Well, I want you to take our listeners through what happened. You're a theology teacher. You're a married man. You've got a big family. Tell us what happened here, and how did you get in trouble with the school?
In late May and early June, I had sent out a number of tweets, factual tweets that were well substantiated. You know, the FBI has designated the BLM a BIE. Got alphabet soup here, a Black identity extremist group. They did that in 2017. In those years, 2016, 2017, 2018, it was strangely much easier to articulate that Black Lives Matter is a homespun terror organization than it was to do so vis-a-vis Antifa. And now, just in the last few months here, the relative ease of making those two articulations, Antifa and BLM, has swapped. Even so-called right-wing news organizations seem to be standing down on the clear designation of BLM as a terror organization. Anyway, in late May, I think it was the 30th, June 1st, I sent out a couple tweets to that effect. And around lunchtime on June the 3rd, a petition with 146 names as against me arose. Most of the people who signed it were dissident Catholics, liberal Catholics. Most of them I'd never even taught. They were families and alum that had heard about me, being sort of the well-known Catholic face of the school, an author and a speaker and thinker with a podcast. So they'd heard about me, and they're just signing the petition as a way of striking back, which they do, part of cancel culture. Anyway, I was doing my podcast, Rules for Retrogrades, a few hours later, after placing a brief kind of prophylactic text to my principal saying, hey, here's the substantiation for what I tweeted out. I also tried calling her in that meantime to no effect. She didn't pick up. A little before dinner, I was interviewing Henry Davis, a Black MAGA supporter, ironically. And in walks my wife halfway through the interview. She gives me the cutthroat sign and says, you're fired. They hadn't even done their due diligence before letting me go. The whole thing smacks of irony upon irony.
This was the Diocese of Fresno, And had they been warning you about your tweets? Had they been telling you to lay off Black Lives Matter?
Of course not. No, this they've firmly established an allowance because I'm a well-known Catholic conservative personality, and they use that. They positioned that, if anything, as a pro position for getting new attendees at the school. And, you know, Bakersfield, where I live, is the one conservative enclave in California. So it's got a lot of political conservatives. Some faithful Catholics, though even a lot of the political conservatives are ignorant in the faith, you know, which has been kind of hijacked over the last 100 years by socialists in high places in the Vatican and the Curia. And yet, nevertheless, the political conservatives send their kids there with the few really faithful, knowledgeable Catholics. Happy that I was department chairman at Garces Memorial because they knew that I would teach them the authentic faith, and I'd also teach them Aquinas. Thomas Aquinas is probably the greatest political conservative ever to live. And so they always bore with me, and Garces sort of positioned me as a way to keep two balls in the air. They had the big education aspect of a typical diocesan school, where most people went and got typical liberal 21st century Catholic education. Wasn't much of an education. They had those people, but they also had me to quell the wealthy donors who were faithful. So they'd never warned me. They knew that I had this podcast. They knew I had a couple books out. My book, Rules for Retrogrades, is thornily Catholic. It's also thornily conservative as a defense.
Well, let me ask you this, Timothy. Let me ask you this. How do you know then that you were fired, you were terminated because of what you wrote about Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, so it's important to establish that chronology isn't necessarily causation. The timing was conspicuous in the first place. It was, you know, 2 hours later. A couple days later in the week, however, the superintendent, Mona Faulkner, said that I don't speak for the diocese with my tweets about, I think she mentioned Black Lives Matter, about social movements and rioting. And, all over Bakersfield Press, the even though it's a conservative town, the papers were saying it, the local news, podunk news stations were saying it, and the diocese was implicitly endorsing the notion, but the superintendent did mention it once.
I wish I could say I was surprised by this and what happened to you, but I'm not. I mean, there is an effort to silence anyone who disagrees with the mainstream media's narrative and the narrative of these leftists, and they will try to destroy you. I mean, what are you doing now? Do you have an attorney? Are you going to try to get your job back? You're going after the diocese here? What's the next step for you?
You bet, man. The timing is also conspicuous because my eldest daughter of six kids in a single income household had a hemispherectomy brain surgery less than 2 months before they fired me. And the whole school had been praying for Abigail over the game for that. So it's really, really bedeviled and conspicuous that they would do so after praying for my daughter. We lose our health insurance after July. Now, let me say this. The book that I'm currently plugging, Rules for Retrogrades, dictates conservatives need to circle the wagons for one another, defend one another. And the online community of conservatives, my friends at the Daily Wire, my friends at National Review, and the Catholic online community as well, have really circled the wagons around me. I'm proud to say that even though conservatives tend to do very badly in that area, they've done great. You can go to timothyjgordon.com and hit donate. And help my family out. At this point, I'm writing more books. I got my fourth and fifth book I'm writing this summer. And my podcast, Rules for Retrogrades, is going to be the full-time endeavor. And I'm appreciative to people for allowing me to make that happen. And yeah, we are going after the diocese.
Good. Well, I hope you do. And I hope they pay for what they did to you and your family and trying to silence your voice. And look, best of luck to you, Timothy. And folks, again, timothyjgordon.com is the website. We'll also post a link to it on our live show blog. And this is a good American patriot here, somebody that you need to lend a helping hand to. This guy's speaking out, putting it all out there on the line. And we've got to have each other's backs here. So, Timothy, thank you for coming on the show. Keep us updated on how all of this works out for you.
Thanks a million. Davisville, God wills it that we fight back in this time. It's the rising tide, brother.
Well said. We consider you a brother. I'm a Southern Baptist. You're a Catholic. And by golly, we got to stand side by side in this fight. Got to do it.
Brothers in Christ, man.
Amen. Amen. That's a sermon right there. All right, folks, we've got to take a break here. Again, TimothyJGordon.com. Can you believe that? This guy, family of six kids, eldest daughter just had brain surgery. Catholic Church comes in and pulls the plug on this guy. That's pretty low down right there. And if you don't think there are liberals in your denomination, you think it's just a Catholic thing, and we've talked about this in the past with what's happening with Pope Francis, you better believe all you Southern Baptists out there listening, your denomination's going woke too at a rapid, rapid pace. We will weigh in on that in the next hour. Got to take a break, though. 844-747-8868, ToddStarnes.com. We'll be right back.
It's the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
If you haven't heard the breaking news here from Disney, so they're getting rid of Splash Mountain. Apparently, it's racist, so they're going to come up with something else. But so they're blowing up Splash Mountain and putting in something about a frog and a princess. I don't know. I really don't care. The other big story, this out of Tulsa, Oklahoma, where a professional soccer league known as the Tulsa Athletic, which is very confusing to say, so I'm just going to call them the Athletics. I mean, the Athletic implies just one person. So anyway, the Tulsa Athletics say they are no longer going to play the national anthem before their matches, the Star Spangled Banner. Instead, they're going to play Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land. Now, many of you are saying, oh, well, that's a nice little tune, you know, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulfstream Waters, blah, blah, blah. Well, folks, you need to know the history of that song, because This Land Is Your Land is an homage to Marxism. As a matter of fact, NPR did a story on this back in 2012. They're saying that Woody Guthrie, who, by the way, was a communist sympathizer, and who grew up the son of a Klan leader, Ku Klux Klan leader, Woody Guthrie wrote the song This Land Is Your Land as a Marxist response to God Bless America. So there you have it. The Tulsa Athletics in Oklahoma announcing that they are dropping the Star Spangled Banner. They're replacing it with a communist theme song, This Land Is Your Land. All right, let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Matt from The Talk Station in North Carolina. Matt, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Todd. Nice to talk to you today. Always a pleasure.
Likewise. Thank you, sir.
The guy in Oregon jailed because he wouldn't wear a mask. That was shocking. The Little Rock guy, I've been following your show, obviously. Little Rock guy saying, this is ridiculous. With the abortionists, it's our choice. You know what I mean?
That is what he said. Yes, your body, your choice. That's what they say. Yes, that is correct.
Correct. And I told Avery I wouldn't say anything stupid. There was a 500-vote Trump rally right here in Washington, North Carolina on last Saturday. I have pictures of it. I mean,
Were people wearing masks? Were they wearing masks? Were they social distancing?
I have to check the picture. It's right next to me in my office. Let me see. They're on a boat. They're on all their boats. Give me 1 second.
Oh, it's the big boat rally. Yes, I remember that. I remember. It sounds like you had a lot of stuff on your desk there, Matt.
Okay, let's get to, I don't know about the mask. Let's get to the other point. About wearing masks, I heard on your show just now, Governor Cooper says you've got in public, you have to wear a mask. Okay, great. Well, my local discount store, the last one we got left, or a grocery store, I don't mind wearing a mask in there. But how come the employees don't wear a mask? And if I wear a mask in there wearing my revolver, then what happens to me? They think I'm a robber.
It's darned if you do, darned if you don't. Matt, thanks for calling in, and always a pleasure. Real quick, let's go to Boston. Our good friend Connor's on the line. Hi, Connor. What's up?
Hey, Todd. Good to talk to you. But, Todd, I just wanted to jump in here on the Black Lives Matter issue in this country. And, you know, part of the issue at its core there is that they're elevating one race over another. It's like every single person in this country, every child of God, and that's every single human being, every life matters there. And we've gone back so far with Black Lives Matter and just see the amount of damage and the amount of gasoline they're putting onto race relations in this country. And, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like if you don't really see them for what they are, it's like, yes, we know the issues with some police in this country. We get that. But every single person has a purpose in this world, and to elevate one race over the other is just, in my mind, just unacceptable. It just does not make sense to me.
Connor, my concern is what does this country look like 10 years from now when you set up a separate, you know, group of laws governing white people, you know, whether it's how you get into a college, whether you get a job. We're setting up one set of rules for people of color and another set of rules for white people, as is the case in Oregon. That's what concerns me. That's a big problem.
I agree with you 100%. And it's like we just need to really get to a point in this country where it's like we look at everybody as equals. It's like within kind of going on the Black Lives Matter movement, it's like if you go up to somebody, I run into them all the time in Boston, all these left liberals.
Oh, Connor, can you hold? You know what? Give us a holler back tomorrow, Connor. I want to finish that conversation, and I wasn't watching the clock. I'm terribly sorry. Can you do that?
Will do.
All right. Connor from Boston. Jeez, Lou, I've got to do a better job of watching the clock today, folks. This is, jeez, Lou. All right. We'll be right back. Stick around, everybody.